You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Fun with Fritz. My name is Fritz. I'm walking in the snow next to these giant, quiet buildings that have so many subtle colors that you can only see when they're surrounded in a white and gray frame, the light gray sky. And this white ground. It's just started snowing here. And this building is a giant apartment building, maybe 15 stories high. And then next to it, across the street, is what looks like a kind of cathedral. It's a simple building, just in a large scale. There's a round glass window and four stretching windows underneath it, like four people stretching up to hold up this round glass window that's a lot like the sun. It looks like it's almost like a mausoleum for the sun. And then there's a kind of a side wing that looks like it has a windows on the top. And this other cathedral, all the windows are way up at the top too, kind of in the ceiling, it looks like. And there's none, you know, and none of the windows are at the human scale. They're all looking up or looking down. And I would be walking through Central Park right now, because that's what's next to me. Except I discovered that it's closed from 1 to 6. And that seems kind of like, okay, or from 2. Is it 2? No, it's 1, I think. It's 1. 1 to 6. And I got a ticket for this, so I should know. I couldn't believe I was getting a ticket for it. But I've also got a ticket for, like, swimming at the beach. We have most of the fun things to do are illegal because of some other idea. Like, there's the fun way to do it, and then there's the idea of, oh, well, we don't want people sleeping in the park, so if we make it illegal to be there, then we don't have to prove that people are sleeping there. We can just say, oh, you're here, you know. And it's actually the way the law is structured. You go in, and they dismiss the first case of you doing this pending you doing another one. So they kind of hold it for 6 months. And then if you do it again, it's like that now you have two against you, and now there could be some repercussion. So it's a kind of like, we're keeping tabs on you. I think if I hadn't had this ticket and I just went into court about it, I totally would have walked through the park tonight because it is extremely quiet and so beautiful. You know, it's covered in snow. There are these two little footprints, like fresh footprints going off into the park. So I'm glad somebody's doing it. And you know, normally I'd go anyway, but I'm in the dark clothes. There's no camo. I even considered walking on the street. You know, then you become like a citizen lawyer. Well, officer, I'm on the street. I'm not actually in the park. You know, the street goes through the park, and I'm just in a vehicle. I mean, another argument you could make is that the crosstown bus stops at midnight. And really, there's no way to get across the park, unless you walk through it, or I guess you have to walk around. So that's what I did. I'm walking around the park right now, and I'm passing a tree that's hooked, like, it's like someone doing a back bend, and then stretching up two of their arms, and in the kind of small of their back, snow has started to collect. The different trees have different ways of holding the snow, in different parts of their bodies where the snow really comes down. And you know, if you're walking through like an old wood and you see broken trees, you can think about like maybe they broke where they were holding too much snow, like too much weight. And the ones who are standing up so straight, you know, maybe they just break at the bottom one day ferociously. Some people are testing out their four-wheel drive in the snow. And then there's, every now and then you'll pass a building where there's like a cadre of guys shoveling snow in the middle of the night. Still a male-dominated field, the night shoveling of snow. But, you know, we can change all that. We can change all that right now. My shoes have a pile of snow. Each one has a little pile of snow on it. Like, oh, this is what it sounds like. Now I'm passing a building that is like medieval, and it might be the Frick. It looks so medieval from the outside. I think it's the Frick. Yeah, it is. It, inside is kind of medieval too. And the bottom, this is another one where the windows are kind of sealed on the human level. It's like the windows are for the celestial beings, or else just this like sky gazing. There's like human-sized windows on the second floor, but it looks like all the lower windows are either closed or shuttered or something. But there's one open right now that I can see through, and there's a little naked person standing there, like as if they're about to jump into a pool, with like some kind of headdress. It looks like there's no pool, and they're just standing there in the corner, right next to a glowing exit sign. But that, and it's a statue, you know. And then across the street, there's NYPD security camera, which I think is warning people about the just generalized surveillance here, I guess. I'm trying to wonder, what are they filming? I think they're filming around the Frick. That's what it looks like. So there's like a public protection of that museum, which is, that probably makes sense, right? There's artifacts. Now I'm passing a little park that is kind of an Aztec or Mayan style park, or playground rather, like that borders the edge of Central Park east, and there is a little hut in here, and I have waited out like a torrential downpour in this hut in the fall. One day it was like a summer rain, but in the fall, so it was too cold to like just let it wash over you. You know how we get those rains in the summer here? So strong, the drops are so fat. And I huddled under there with Christina and Keith's little boy, 3 years old, and Christina, big person, you know, normal size adult. And tall, maybe, for a woman. Short for an elephant or a giraffe. And I'm maybe tall for a man. So it depends on where, what country you're in, you know, and maybe not in the Netherlands. But we were small compared to the trees around us, but big compared to this little hut, kind of like a pyramid that we huddled in. And I just thought about the, you know, the rituals, the Aztec rituals that we think of being performed on these pyramids, that have been like popularized in movies and stuff, of sacrifice or some kind of augury of weather, you know? And then we learn later that like, that these cultures had such accurate timekeeping and had huge mythologies related to the calendar, which we do too. We have these like borrowed mythologies relating to our calendar, you know, in the form of holidays, but and then the stories of the holidays and things like that. And they overlap with religion sometimes and like commercialism and, you know, all these things kind of come together in this funny mix. And it's like the street corner in New York where you have the NYPD is protecting this cultural museum that was maybe like somebody's personal collection. And then, I mean, I don't know the history of the Frick, but in general with museums. And then it's kind of, you know, given to the public in a sense, maybe in exchange for some type of boon, not totally sure. And then we're protecting it. And the meanwhile, you know, there's like a public playground that was, it was redone, is the reason I mentioned the playground. Used to be a playground almost exactly like it, but slightly different, slightly maybe more dangerous, or just a little more 70s. It had more sandbox. Now the sandbox has been elevated. It's like a chest-high sandbox, so it's not really like, let's play with it. Let's play in there. You know, kids really go for the sandbox. They love being in the sand. And it's like a pain to clean up, maybe, and adults are not that into it. I've been to playgrounds where, you know, kids have been forbidden to do certain things based on cleaning them up. Oh, yeah, which I understand, you know, if it's cold and you get wet and there's not a change of clothes and then you're going to go on a long walk afterwards, you know, maybe you don't want to, like, jump in the water feature or step in the puddles. But that's also what it is to be a kid. And so to me, this corner here is like a great example of where we are with the back and forth of who we aspire to be, you know, who we're, what we're going for, like our cultural artifacts and ideas, you know, as represented in a museum. And then across the street, you have the little children who are playing with their aspirations. And then the idea that this playground was maybe like the perfect playground. Almost, it's a gallery piece in itself. So when we redo it, we have to do it again, like just how it was, except a little bit safer, not quite as much sand, take out the water feature, make more landscaping. It's now, it feels like a much smaller playground, interestingly, even though it's the same size. It's a lot more congested, like there's only one way in. I think there was always only one way in, but it moved the gate. And so you kind of crash into people coming in and out. Which is nice. It's nice to meet people. It's nice to have an excuse to say hello. So, and I'm on this walk having apparently I was in the largest movie theater in this country, maybe in North America, I'm not sure. Like a 3-story high screen showing Star Wars, which is always kind of a remake of itself, I think, every one of the movies. Except for maybe the three newer ones, before the newest one. You know what I'm talking about, those kind of like the awful ones. Although the last of those was like slightly better. But anyway, my son, he's really into Star Wars, and in a way, he likes the cape and the costume. He's like a costumier, and he wore it to school today, this black cape. He likes to wear a black cape and a pink skirt to school with pants underneath. He's very practical. Ooh, there's a big snowplow, but it hasn't quite snowed enough yet for the plow, so it's scraping on the ground so much. Here's some steam. It's melted all the snow right here. Ooh, standing in the steam. Now I'm on the streets. Oh, yeah. I got a couple cars. All the cabs want to pick me up. They feel for me. One guy, he was so eager to pick me up. I was like, you know what? He's just going to give me a ride anyway. And I waved him off, and he still kind of pulled over like hitchhiking. Pulled over a little in front and just watched and be like, is this guy okay? Maybe I'll give this guy a hand. Hitchhiking, it's one of those great things. Another thing that's against the law, depending where you are. I used to hitchhike a lot in the West. But back to the playground that's redone and the gallery that's redone. And then I was in this colossal structure, right? This movie theater, like celebrating cinema. You know, at a time like this, it's wonderful to celebrate cinema. It's like we watch things on the little screen. It's nice to watch things on the big screen. And I was thinking about that and just thinking about how people like to sit, you know, they like to sit back from the big screen. Not right up there, because then you can't quite see the movie, so like right up there, you gotta sit back. And the size, like even this giant screen, its relative size in your visual field could be the same as your phone if your phone is close to your face. And that's a little uncomfortable for the phone. So the movie ends up being a little bit bigger than watching it on your phone, but not as dramatically bigger as the actual thing in real life is bigger than your phone. It's just a fraction bigger, not an enormous amount bigger. So I'm watching this movie that is, in a way, like a remake or an homage to the earlier movies, you know, with the same, kind of the same plot, like a father-son struggle and a giant planet that will blow up your planet and a sort of good guys team that is just implicit, like what does it mean to be good, is just kind of understood. Like it's like help each other out, you know? And then the other guys who are also good at cooperation, you know, the bad guys, have this element of capricious cruelty thrown in there. So both are fairly good at cooperating, but one side is unnecessarily cruel, like kills a village of people or blows up a planet for no reason, you know, or just to dominate. So anyway, a kind of, yeah, like a simplified world. And I was just thinking, like, so I saw a remake, and then I'm, not a really a remake, you know, it's the new movie that's out now, but kind of a remake. And then The Playground is a remake, but different, but very similar to the original. And I remember reading some review of Roman history, of like, maybe like a 400-year period of Roman history or something, which was... I don't remember who wrote this sentence, but it was something like, oh, and then, you know, we don't really have any Roman dramaturgs or poets or historians that we're interested in for the next 400 years, because they mostly just copied and did the same thing that had done before by other Romans or by the Greeks, but just not as well. And it's just kind of written off, you know, that's that. And I was thinking, because there's this attempt in making a history to make it a history, narrative of progress. We're getting somewhere. There's a purpose for us. There's a reason we're moving towards something. So then, if you read something like that and you're one of these Romans during that period, you're like, oh, well, but they didn't mention Frank and, or like Francisco and, you know, that whole episode. We used to throw crazy parties, and it was like super fun, you know? I wish they would have said something about him. And then I think there's an attempt to resuscitate that history, like with Francisco, like St. Francis, right? This, I don't think he's Roman, but he's maybe Italian from some little place. And he was like some kind of wild nudist who would talk to birds and stuff and have a party and be like, hey, let's, you know, come walk with me. Let's have a fun together. Anyway, you have a guy like that. And I just gave a thumbs up. This guy's cleaned the street. He's the only person, he's working alone. He's cleaned half a block, maybe. A third. He's cleaned a lot. Give him a thumbs up. Anyway. There's an attempt to resuscitate, and then these people are like saints, or, you know, we can go back and we can find the history and we can find these moments. Or like, there's a saint who's celebrated in Ireland, Patrick. Is it? I think it's him. He's kind of like brought a type of literacy back to, maybe back to sort of monasteries and maybe inadvertently to England and the rest of the, like, in France or something. But, you know, the funny thing is, during this period of sameness in Rome and, I don't know, in the Dark Ages, right, not a lot of new, great, fun stuff, there's really so much else going on in other parts of the world that then becomes the Renaissance that we learn, you know. This Renaissance, in a way, is just the trade of ideas from other cultures that were already kind of on that page with perspective drawing and, you know, algebra and things like, even all these words, like Arabic words that we've pulled from this other tradition. And I was just thinking about how our cultural heritage is not, you know, just what we have in that museum, but it's this diaspora of languages and places and peoples and, you know, and all kinds of quirky little things that the, yeah, that we've
that we've just kind of mashed together, and sometimes they're unrecognizable. Like, I participate in things that are then, you know, you do something, and then you talk about it later. And what you say about it is so different from the experience of doing it. With this radio show, I normally just try to have it be things that are happening. Because I find there's so much kind of honesty in that, or I don't know if it's honesty, it's just like, it's nice to be experiencing something real. I think this is why sports are popular. They seem real, kind of, to people. Like, you're watching, just flicking around. I was on an airplane, which is a place where you can watch TV. You know, if you don't have one, if you're like a New Yorker, you don't watch TV or have a TV or whatever. If you're one of those New Yorkers, some do. But, it occurred to me, I was like, okay, well, I'm kind of curious which team is going to move the ball past the line, because there's not much time left, and that's what they both agreed, this is what they're doing. They're one's trying to stop the other one, basically, and, you know, but not too violently, but somewhat, and here they go. Oh, what's going to happen? Threw the ball in the air. Who knows? People are still running around. It's like somebody might grab it. Oh, they grabbed it, but they were out past the line, out of bounds. Do it over again, you know? Somehow, it was kind of interesting compared to even South Park was on another channel. And you would think, like, South Park would be, that's my jam. And I really like those guys and their imaginations and stuff. But somehow, it was like, well, this is really great and this is so funny and everything. But I'm sort of more conscious of myself and, like, the world and reality watching this than I am watching this other thing. This is, like, the people throwing the ball, which, I mean, is potentially endlessly boring. It's like the same thing over and over, you know. And yet, I think, besides the, all these other affiliations of, like, that's my team, or this is my town, or all that other kind of stuff, there's just a basic slight interestingness to it of, well, this is kind of a real thing, and I wonder what's going to happen. And I think this is, like, the thing that late-night talk show hosts, they sort of strive for. Like David Letterman. He's like, oh, okay. Is he still singing the songs? I'm not sure. But anyway, he's out there. He's singing the songs. And you're kind of like, well, I've watched this guy, David Letterman. I feel like I kind of know him. Right? We know him. You know these people you see on TV enough. And then you're like, okay. I mean, not that I watch him much. But he has, like, big pants, right? That's his thing. Anyway. And you think, is this going to be real? Yeah, it's kind of real. You know, David is kind of real. He might ask them something he's not supposed to say. He might do something, like, off the script, you know? And I feel like that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those kinds of moments. So then when I read the Roman history, you know, comment about then for the next 400 years, they sort of imitated their own art, and there's not much to say about this period. I think, well, like, maybe not much happened. I'm inside now. Just stepped inside. Wow. It's nice outside. But my fingers are cold. I think maybe it was missing that element of the real. And, you know, I think the parallel with Roman history here is this brought up that we think about maybe with America is like, oh, there's this empire. Or even if not an empire, because hopefully, you know, we're not striving for empire. But there's this unity of different types of people together in this place. And they've decided to have, like, a peace together. And they're striving for that peace. And the whole thing is some idea of progress. Like, we can all be citizens, and we can make this better in some way, you know? Julius Caesar, in some ways of looking at him, he's like a populist. As well as, like, a, you know, he started a civil war and everything. Separatist, kind of, or dominatrix, maybe. That's a Roman word. But, I think so. Domini, you know, Domini, that's like lording over things. Yeah, I think they're really into that stuff.
Anyway, we're here. We're thinking, like, that we're trying to go somewhere with this entity that we have, and we're gonna raise our children to understand our cultural relics and, you know, on sites of ritual, you know, recontextualize this play like a Mayan or Aztec. I mean, they're very different, but they both had these pyramids. I guess so did the Egyptians. But these were pyramids you could go up on. Anyway, these ancient cultures kind of appropriated, recontextualized, played with. And they get all mixed together, and then you're kind of like, well, what did happen? What is happening now? And I think we have this chance, even though things are kind of wildly out of our control, we still have a chance to make new myths, new understandings, you know, new arts. And with that, there's also something that we can do as I quietly walk in the door. There's something we can do with the old, that because we want it to be meaningful and we want progress, we want meaning for our own lives and we want meaning for our collective efforts, and we're trying to progress, I think, as a society, that's what we strive for. And then I think there's an element within the society, maybe the element that is really happy with the way things are, which could be anyone, you know. It doesn't necessarily correspond to, like, wealth and prosperity. It maybe often does, but it could also just correspond to somebody who likes the playground the way it was before more than the new one, versus the person who always liked the new thing. Like, some people might like the old version of the phone instead of buying the new one, but that's not really, like, part of the marketing plan. You know, here, buy the old iMac or something, or buy the old computer skin, and we'll put new stuff inside it. You can have that old colorful one that you liked. Here it is. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is that there's these countervailing forces towards the new progress, and these things are, like, together somehow. Like, let's make something new, let's progress, let's learn, let's educate, let's become inventive, continually inventive, rather than, like, regurgitating. Because why would we mention that in a history, like, the same thing happening again? So there's that. And then countervailing, kind of like sliding the other way, is a kind of relaxation with the present and the status quo, for some reason or other. Maybe not with all of it, maybe just with some of it. Maybe just with something very specific, like, I like what I'm wearing right now. It's the perfect temperature of stuff for the amount of walk that I did. It's a little cold if I wasn't walking, but it's perfect for the amount of walk. You know, that type of happiness with the status quo, all the way to the laws need to be the same. Or there's that sense of regressive progress, which is kind of like very much in our political dialogue, which is like, oh, we're anything that's wrong is because we changed things from a perfect past. We need to go back to a perfect past. Like childhood and psychoanalysis potentially have that type of narrative, where if childhood were perfect, you would be okay. But since it's not, and it probably can't be for anyone, maybe there's inherent trauma in growing up, then, you know, everyone can benefit from talking about it with a professional. And maybe that's true, I don't know. But the funny thing is where the narrative of progress resides and where the narrative of regress or conservatism, you know, change, fixedness, non-change, where that resides,
And so, like, there's these new Star Wars and Star Trek movies. But these are old things. These are things like, especially Star Trek, is really utopian. It's like people in the future all get along, and they even get along with other kinds of creatures and stuff. They get along super well. And really, they just have puzzles to solve with each other that they do in a, that they solve together as a group. And often, like, you know, there's a surprising, help from some surprising place or something. That's my abstraction of Star Trek, not having watched so much of it, but, you know, a fair amount. Which is a very different flavor and a different type of idea than, like, Star Wars, fly around space, shoot 'em up, space western type of thing. Save the galaxy while we're, like, catching a beer at the cantina kind of thing. Which is really fun, but very different. Anyway, where now, I feel like now, they, you know, they're both being made by the same guy now, kind of. And they both have that flavor of, like, The Hunger Games or The Maze Runner, or there's another one, like a teen action adventure novel. Which I really like, action and adventure, but there's a funny way that all these novels are about, like, a tiny group that affects, like, a whole society and a whole world. I guess it is our dream, our teen dream, to be, like, a tiny group that affects a whole society and a whole world. And maybe, like, an adult dream is just to be, like, on a beach with strangers. I was gonna say with your friends, but by the time you're enough of an adult, you're like, you probably have, like, some issue with all of your friends, slightly. Like, you'd like to see them, but maybe not on the beach, maybe, you know, back in town or at the hotel or somewhere else. And I mean, the whole concept of the vacation, in a way, in the tropical paradise is, I guess, the colonial fantasy, where you rule enough of the world that you can go on vacation kind of wherever. But, you know, people have vacations where they live too, if they live somewhere nice. You know, another way to look at it, rather than colonializing it, is to look at it as a vacation from what you're used to. Like, maybe if you live at the equator, it's really fun to come to New York tonight and walk in the snow. That's kind of how I felt, even though I don't live at the equator. But I've been there once, and that can be enough. It's so hot. Or coming here once could be enough. It's so cold. So the place where I feel like these narratives converge and overlap and where things get complicated and fun is, you know, in what we do ourselves. And I think we really mix them up. I guess I'm advocating a playfulness with, you know, narratives of conservation, right? There's another way to put it. Conservation narratives. Like change narratives, progress narratives, all these things. Like, yeah, conservation is such a nice narrative when, well, it's a tragedy. It's like, it's tragic that we've cut down all of our forests and things like that. But we plant them also, and we try to protect things also. We kind of do both. I guess we're doing these narratives against one another a lot of the time. This is, you know, this is probably what Foucault talks about, dialectic, or, not Foucault's dialectic, but whatever, his discourse, or Hegel's dialectic, there we go, it's been a while. So what I'm not saying is super new, but I'm placing these cultural markers of our time of kind of regurgitation and, like, rehashing. And I have a little boy who's the age now that I was when I saw Star Wars. And I remember going home afterwards and playing the Stormtroopers. I really liked to be the Stormtroopers getting shot. And my son likes to play a game where he's superheroes and then the superheroes die. and they fall down, and then they can't really be revived. And then he'll often switch to be a different superhero. And he lets me be any superhero I want. Sometimes kids are really specific with how you play games, but he doesn't mind if I'm like Mr. Salad or Sheets and Linens Man or Dr. Mayonnaise and other condiments, you know, things like that. Which is nice because it's fun to attack somebody with like a grilled cheese sandwich, the idea of a grilled cheese sandwich, or with a ball of fuzzy animals. For Fuzzy Animals Man. In a ball. So, like I said, normally my radio show is something real. The real thing was walking through the snow. And then the idea is ideas while looking at things while walking through the snow that you have for like a second, but any one of which can take 10 minutes or more, an hour to explain. It's little ideas in the snow. And then once you've explained or you've talked to another person, then what they say back to you is such a surprise that you can wonder, what did I say? Or you can think, oh, wow, that's so much more interesting. I love how they hear me. I wonder what more they think. Or you can think, oh, yeah, that's it. We got it. This is Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you for listening to Fun with Fritz. Next show is Saturday. The show's on Saturday at 10 p.m. And that's when it is. It's on Saturn's Day, a day named for a planet. Imagine if we had, like, Pluto, or Sunday for the sun, moon day for the moon, but if we had like Pluto's day and then it wasn't a planet anymore, and we had like a day of the week named after an asteroid, and then we'd be like, oh man. One thing I love, part of the story of human history is the story of our relationship to the stars and like how we imagine the cosmos, our cosmology. You know, we are all made of stars, Moby, right? Sings pop song now. Well, pop song, I don't know, 1,000 years ago, like, the stars are fixed. The stars are fixed in the sky. That kind of thing. I wonder when in history we had the idea of, like, a god being above and then something else being below. Maybe that's, and I wonder how many cultures have that idea. Some of these ideas, like, you know, these stories and whatever, they're super new. And it's surprising because it feels like they're so old, like a hamburger. This is like the reject bits of meat that you couldn't get people to eat. I don't know, 70 years ago or something. And now it's just crazy. It's no longer the cheap food that you can get anywhere. Like, if you're out with friends and you just want to duck under the bill and you're like, okay, how can I sneak out of here only paying $10 and drinking my water? No longer. Now you have to go, like, get creative with that and have, like, a lentil soup, which maybe fulfills the same protein requirements. I'm not sure. That's another big mystery. Does nutrition matter at all? Some people eat horribly and they're fine. Other people eat great and they're not. Maybe, I mean, in general, like eating McDonald's, right? We all saw Super Fry or whatever, Super Bad, or where he eats all the McDonald's, whatever it's called, Super Size Me, there it is. And, whoa, that's, you know, okay, there you go, gonna die. But then, we have like a vegetarian friend who's like seems too skinny. Way too skinny, maybe. People always just think I'm a vegetarian because I'm kind of like maybe too skinny sometimes. But then, I mean, you can be any size and have any diet now. It's really expanded. Used to be vegetarians only skinny. But maybe we've learned more about diet and have been smarter about it, and so you don't have to just be skinny being a vegetarian. I think if you eat salad, you have to eat like so much of it to gain weight. And then, that's another amazing thing, like, if you have an extra 100 pounds, you can live for a year without eating food. Just need vitamins and water. And like, actually, you still need some sugar and salt to kind of like metabolize the water, but it's been done. Imagine if you put every painting that ever been painted, like in order that they were painted, in a line, on one long wall, and you walked that wall. The first marks on a wall to like the latest, you know, every single painting that you had done, that anyone had ever done, chronologically. Why isn't that the history of art?
And this is Fun with Fritz. We're back. It's the next night. The snow is here now, maybe 2 feet of snow. And this is Keith. How are you doing climbing up? He's climbing up a small hill about 4 feet tall. Dropped the recording device. It's okay. It's going to be all right. There's a guy plowing. We just saw a corpse being taken outside of a home where old people live. And in a body bag. Body bag, right? Was it in a body bag?
Yes.
How did you know it was a corpse? Come on. Christina's not feeling that great. She's a little...
Can I have the keys, please? I'm going back.
You're leaving us out here?
Yep, I've taken you out, and now I'm leaving you both out here. And I'm going inside.
Why? It's so nice out here. It's beautiful.
I was out all day with Keats, I know.
What did you do earlier?
Well, there's another one.
Keats is up here.
Good job.
He's made it. Maybe hang out for just a minute while he goes down a couple times. Because you know how to do this. You're the expert. Where are you from? Yeah. It's radio. No one can see your amazing facial expressions.
Oh, right.
Where are you from?
I'm from Minnesota.
She knows all about it. Whoa, there goes Keats. He's rolling around. He's from New York.
Three dead people today.
That's three?
On this corner.
Oh, no, how do you know it's another one?
Look at, they're putting him in there.
Oh, wow, in another truck. Yeah. How was that three? Oh, when you were out earlier, there was one?
There was one in the back, and then they were rolling another one in, and now there's a third one on this side.
I wonder if they'll be chalked up as storm casualties, or if they were just naturally... coming to the end.
You made it.
Whoa, Keith, you're so high up.
I love
What's it like?
I mean, it's like...
We got a tube that has some air in it. Oh, you know, it might have just changed because it's cooler out here, and then the air would... It would naturally deflate in the cold air.
Oh, really? This much, though?
Yeah, well... Oh, there he goes.
All right, Keith, I love you. I'm going to go in.
All right.
I'll be out in a little while. I have to go in.
Watch out, man, behind you. There's a few people walking the streets. There's no cars. It's kind of nice. People are having romantic walks. We're sledding on top of some garbage by the street corner. What? No, we're hanging out. We're staying here. You know, if you do want to go, you might have to just disappear later.
Okay, I'm disappearing.
No, not right now, love.
Do the sled. Daddy's with you.
Yeah. We're here. We're going to have a meltdown. Okay, Keats. I'm going to hide over here. Do you want to throw snow at me? Do you want to throw some snow at me?
Yeah.
Okay, let's make it. Let's make a snowball. The snow is light and fluffy, and it's hard to make a snowball, but here's one. I made one for you. Ah! You can throw that at me. I'm wearing white pants and a yellow raincoat. This is as snow-friendly as I thought I could be. Keats has a bit of a cough. Oh! Oh, I got you. I'm... Oh, I'm the snowman. Oh, Keith, this is a big... Oh, here's a big one. Oh! Okay, I'm gonna get you... Ah. Oh! Okay, here we go. Ugh. He's throwing snow, I'm throwing snow back. Ah! We're gonna get each other, people passing by in the lobby of the building. Someone's having a conversation, sounds like Mandarin from Beijing accent. And... Ah! And Keith is using both... Oh! He's using both hands in a scissor scoop. You're doing a scissor scoop! To scoop up snow. Oh, he just turned 4 at midnight on Thursday? Friday? A couple nights ago. Oh! Whoa! Oh, sorry. Woman passing behind me. I seem like a distracted person on my phone. Little does everybody know, it's a radio show. There's some water in my phone, a little bit, a tiny bit, slightly. The, whatever is this called? The kind of thing that we brought is inner tube. It's floating around. Oh, Keith, this could be fun. Here. I'm setting this up for you. You can slide down. It's kind of windy. But if you pop, if you jump your body on this, and you'll be able to slide down, that'll be fun. See, like that, and you can slide on it. You want to pop your body on there? Keats has climbed to a top of a mound. So we're at we're on a hill, but it's like a big, slow, gradual hill. And and the only hills for us to use are where the street plows have come. And it looks like, I don't know, it's been maybe at least an hour since a street has come before, since one has come recently. There's a lot of couples out in the snow. There's not that many single people. And then if there is a single person, they're carrying groceries. So it's like single shoppers and romantic snow walkers. What?
I climbed all the way up here. Daddy.
I do see. That's great. You're on top of the mound.
Snowball. Whoa.
That's a big snowball.
I'm going to throw it on the floor.
Hey! There it went. Look, there's a cab. It's the first cab I've seen. I thought the cars were denied the road. Oh, there it goes. The snow's blowing it. I'll get it. It's going into the road. The problem with carrying it in a tube that's full of air is just that it's only as heavy as plastic and air, so it like floats all around. Say again?
You need to continue holding it.
Oh, okay, great idea. Oh, there's a plow. Here comes a plow. It's a, it's like somebody's 4x4 truck with a big orange piece of curved metal in the front, attached to the front, and it can raise and lower. And he's just driving, though, not plowing actively. I feel like everyone who plows snow comes from Staten Island. I met a bunch of plowers last year, and they were all from Staten Island. They would drive out. And a lot of tree farmers that I met were also from Staten Island. And some of the best pizza that I've had has been on Staten Island. So, you know, there's a lot of special things about that borough, right? Just right off the bat. I have a shirt that says Staten Island. That's a... shows like a bath, and it's like somebody's bathroom. In a graphic design way. It says Staten Island.
Clean that car off.
What do you want to do?
Clean that car off.
You want to clean that car off? Oh, okay. You know, this is something you loved to do when you were 2 years old. Now that you're 4, I see that it's an abiding interest. Because you have an abiding interest in cleaning off the cars. What do you like about cleaning off cars?
Because they want to be clean for the morning.
You want it to be clean for the morning for somebody to drive?
Yeah.
This is very conscientious. What a good citizen you are. There's very little snow around this fire hydrant, which is interesting, huh? There's not much snow around it. And people walking dogs. That's another category. Keats is climbing. He's climbed from a pile down through the valley of the intersection where people are supposed to walk, and then now it's up another pile. And it could be that there's garbage under these piles, and that's why they're higher, because we're kind of on the corner. Or it could be something else. But there's enough snow that you don't quite land down. He stood up at the top of a little hill and just fell over backwards. But it's snow, so it's fun. His mother, who's from Minnesota, had the clever idea of putting... Oh, wow, looks like you're stuck. He's now down to his waist in the snow. One way, if you're, like, stuck, imagine it's like quicksand, you can, like, make your body big and flat. Because if I come over there, I'll also get stuck. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Keep climbing. Here, I'll throw this to you. This is like your life support. Okay, so watch out. There's a car coming. Keats, you see on your left? Oh, I sunk down to my knee in the snow. That's pretty deep.
I need to walk all the way to the car. I'm going to walk all the way to the car.
Okay, you're going to walk all the way to the car. Wow, you're doing it. He walks. It's so powdery because it's pretty cold. You sink right down. Yeah. Okay, I'll help you. I'm coming in. Here you go. Grab onto this. Okay, I'll pull you. Grab on. You have to grab on tight. The police have just passed by, and then a cab behind them. The cab is following the police. Oh, and then the cab turned. It was the same cab that was going the other way. I'm impressed that they were able to get past the fuzz. But maybe they are the fuzz. Because they had two drivers, you know, two people in the driver's seat, and only one in the back. It's not like it was so full. But something about the way the guy was driving in the lead, he was like leaning forward looking. It seems like the police are always leaning back when they're driving, even in inclement weather, they have to look casual. Keats just rolled.
Okay, no. Ha! My dad! Hey, Dad.
All right. This is a bit of a cough. Did you make it all the way to that car?
Where's Mommy?
Mommy had to go back inside.
I want to.
But why don't we explore a little bit more in the
No,
meeting?
No!
What's wrong? It's been through a heavy Mommy phase lately.
I want to go back out.
You want to go? You want her to come back out? Well, why don't I tell her to come back out, and then let's wait for her here, okay? And we can play while we wait. Does that sound good? It's the sound of a snowplow attached to a garbage truck. There's two of them going by. Three. Four. And a couple crossing after them, and then another couple with a little dog who's wearing a sweater. He's actually wearing, like, a down vest, I would say, which is a little more substantial than what I'm wearing. Oh, there's a woman with an umbrella. That's a cool interpretation. It's great in New York. You get many different interpretations of how to dress in the snow, and an ambulance just crossed going the other way. Red coat and plaid umbrella. Okay, here we go. Here's the big car. Let's check this out. Come on over here, Keats. I feel like, oh wow, we're by a payphone. This is so cool. Look at this payphone. We got to take a picture of this. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Fun with Fritz. My recording device is starting to get wet. I wanted to walk in the snow earlier and give you thoughts in the snow, and now you've got playing in the snow. This is Fun with Fritz. My fingers are slowly thawing out. One, two, three, four. They're cold from the top quarter to the tip. So cold, they kind of hurt. And my toes are so cold. This one is numb. Ever since I drove a truck for a fashion production company during Fashion Week, I would drive like 16 hours a day. And then at night I would bartend. So I hardly slept. And I would use this one toe, I realized, on the gas and the brake back and forth. Anyway, the side of that toe has been numb ever since I took that job. But now it's numb with a new numbness from the cold, and then it's kind of coming back. I wore these plastic-coated shoes outside and a yellow windbreaker. Underneath that, I had a kind of a faux fur vest and a sweater and a long-sleeve shirt and a short-sleeve shirt. And a sweater, Mr. Rogers type of sweater? What are those called? It's a sweater vest, but it's long sleeves. And I wore a pair of white pants, because I wanted to be visible. Although now I realize black can be visible against the snow, because the snow is white, and I was being white and yellow, which is maybe less visible, especially as the streetlights were kind of yellow. Keats enjoyed the snow until a really big wind came up. The phone, somebody got their phone out to tell me what time it was, and I just thought about how this kind of weather is such an antidote against phones. Everybody was walking around and nobody had a phone out. There was one guy taking a picture of his very photogenic, husky-type dog that was all perky and loved the snow. But even he was a little tentative about it. He maybe took two pictures and then put it away. A phoneless moment in 2016, all thanks to the big white fluff. I don't think anyone else died or was carried away while we were out there in the snow. No more bodies went into the... I came out of the building where older people live, or are rehabilitated or something. It's mysterious exactly what the function is. I have such long hair that it's nice when I put it in a hat, it all stays down, especially if it's one of those hats that covers your ears. Then it's like hat, hair, ears, and that's a nice insulative climate. I need that for my feet. We should have hair all over our feet. They're always getting cold. They're so neglected. They're also the part of our body that touches the ground. We must have had shoes now for thousands of years, because it's really hard. Like, imagine in this weather, bare feet. That'd be it for your feet. After, you know, 15 minutes or so, that would be the end of the use of your feet. Snow is that thing kids love. Hey, Keats. Oh, I see you're working over here. What are you working on?
I'm eating a cupcake.
You're eating a cupcake?
Yeah.
Whoa, where did this come from?
Mama.
Did she make these or get them in the store, do you know?
Them in the store.
She got them in the store. Is that true, Mommy?
I made these cupcakes.
How did you make them? What did you make them out of? You're pushing me away. You don't want to be on my radio show. Just for a minute. Just tell me. How did you make them?
In the oven.
And who stirred the batter?
The mixer.
Oh, special mixer. All right.
Can I see the mixer?
You want to see the mixer?
Can I take something?
Sounds like a plan. Well, this is so exciting, Keats. I see you've set up this old computer that we haven't been able to get to work. And I think you're using it to do some work. What are you working on? Oh, your mouth is full. Okay. I didn't notice that until just now. All right. And as I understand, you scrape off the frosting because you just like the cupcake, not the frosting. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, tune in next week to Fun with Fritz on Saturday at 10 p.m. If you want to hear the earlier week's show, you can listen the same day at 10 a.m. So you can wake up to Fun with Fritz, and then you can, right before you go out for the night, you can listen again. It's a snowy night. Almost nobody's outside except for couples, people with dogs, somebody who needs to get some groceries, and the occasional smiling older person, older lady with a umbrella, from what I could see.
Can we make another one now for Daddy? Why, Mommy?
We eat them all.
Everyone, I need you to eat some. I want you to eat some, Mommy. Daddy.
That's very nice of you. You want to get cupcakes for me. I'm okay, though. I don't need one right now. I'll just have a glass of water. Maybe with a sprinkle, a squirt of lemon.
This one?
Yeah.
This?
Sure, thanks. Thanks for offering me your water.